Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. As I promised, we actually have Trevor Lawton and a very revealing interview regarding communism and its infiltration and this Bolshevik revolution. Actually, I wish we would have had time to get into that. I mean, this is one of my longest interviews. I've had to cut out all the announcements. And so that way I could give you, we keep one, but anyway, we have only one promo in this entire show. That's how long and that's how intense this interview is. I know Trevor's got a movie coming out, so I'm hoping at the end of the year you go out and get this movie. If you don't already have Enemies Within, you need to. This is not entertainment. This is educational, and he connects the dots. He is a subject matter expert. And oh, by the way, if you didn't know, he's a huge supporter of Republic Review. And that's probably a big secret because, as you probably understand, if you've ever gone to most of his presentations, a lot of his presentations are sponsored by the John Birch Society. But anyway, what I want you to know is we're going to get into the nuts and bolts regarding COVID-19 and this Bolshevik revolution. So please stay tuned, and we're going to go straight into the interview. And then after that interview, we'll come right back after one promo. Thank you so much. All right, folks, we are back, and we actually have Trevor Lawton. And Trevor, it was great seeing you again just last week. As a matter of fact, I think it was almost a week ago. And I was really moved by the information that you provided. Now, my listeners have already been exposed to some of the arrests that the DOJ has had up in Massachusetts and some of the history with the NIH or the NHI? Regarding the Wuhan and the coronavirus research in the 2010 to 2012 and something like that, and then finally they got kicked out and went to Wuhan. So I've kind of gone through a lot of this stuff, but you actually have presented a lot of really good information regarding the coronavirus and how it is being utilized and how they've actually exercised. I'll just call it a political operation to destroy Trump's economy and to actually try to take control of the narrative. And so what I'd like to do is, have you kind of, if you want to try to cover some of the stuff of what the political party, because I think you named names and all, and I think that's great when you actually come out there and name names, but do you want to cover that for us?
Yeah, well, look, the COVID virus and the rioting that we're seeing are both linked, okay?
Right.
And they both come from China, essentially. Now, last year, Xi, the president of China, declared people's war against the United States. You know, this was when Trump was giving him a caning on trade, and Trump had supported the Taiwanese against China and supported the marches in Hong Kong. So Xi declared people's war. Now, everybody thought, oh, yeah, big deal. That just means sort of economic battles. No, people's war is total war. Now, it comes from Maoism, obviously, and Xi is a Maoist to his bootstraps. Mao has come back in China big time. And people's war was what was done in China, what was done in Vietnam. You don't confront your enemy openly on the battlefield. You draw him into a war of attrition in the countryside. You stretch his supply lines. See, this is what happened in China. The communist forces would never engage the nationalist forces directly. They would draw them out into the countryside. They fought the war from the countryside. They'd take over little areas in the countryside. The troops would come in, and then they would attack their supply lines, or they would blow up some bridges. They would never fight them directly, and they wore the enemy down before they were able to gather sufficient strength, and then the communists surrounded the big cities, and it was all over for the nationalists. So what we're seeing now is people's war against the United States, and we've seen two manifestations of it. One is the coronavirus, which has been weaponized to destroy the U.S. economy, destroy President Trump, and destroy the U.S. military budget. And the other is the wave of rioting, which has been used to further demoralize the country, retard any economic development, and again, inflame voters against Trump. So I can go back and start with the coronavirus, perhaps, but please understand, we are in World War III now. You know, we are absolutely in World War III now, and America doesn't realize it, unfortunately.
Right, because
they haven't bombed Pearl Harbor.
Right,
they've just taken down our economy and burnt several of our cities.
Right,
and we don't understand that this is deliberate.
Yeah, so America looks at war as a military conflict, not as a political conflict. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, look, a friend of mine, a national security advisor, said the other day, when Chinese troops start marching towards the United States, the war's already over by that point. We're done already. They're just going to come here to mop up. So, and you know, they've got a lot more up their sleeve yet, including a possibility of an EMP attack, which would, given our current state of preparation, just wipe us out. But, okay, so the virus came from Wuhan. We know it was genetically engineered, well, reputable scientists have said it was, probably produced in the bioweapons laboratory. Could have been accidentally released, but almost certainly it was a deliberate release. It was certainly fanned. Like in January every year in Wuhan, they have a massive week of Chinese New Year celebrations. It's like a Mardi Gras. And Chinese people come from all over the world to participate. And when that was happening, the Wuhan authorities asked the Chinese Communist Party, should we cancel the event this year to stop the spread of the disease? And the Communist Party authorities said, no, carry on, absolutely. So thousands of young Chinese come from Australia and New York and Florida and Sierra Leone and Britain and Canada back to these celebrations, and then went back and spread it all over the Western world and the third world as well. So it was a deliberate spread. You know, they did that, and they were keeping the air travel open as long as they could. They wanted this to get a foothold. Now, because in China, they can handle this easy. They're a totalitarian state. They lose a few thousand old people. Well, that saves them some money. Who cares about them? And they get their economy back on track pretty shortly. The West is different because we care about our old people. We're willing to shut things down. You know, the Chinese didn't shut down their economy, national economy, like we have here. Not at all. But so it was spread. Now, on April 2nd, there was a letter sent out by the International Department of the Communist Party of China. That is the body that liaises with the World Communist Movement. And people need to understand the World Communist Movement is bigger now than it has been for the last 30 years. It's right up there. It's on a roll. And one of those signatories was the Communist Party USA. And there were four basic themes of the letter. The first is, don't blame China. If you blame China, you're a racist. So this is the line all these communist parties have got to promote around the world, right, through their friendly media. It's the way to coordinate all of this. And the second message is, China's our friend. China's leading the world in stopping the virus. They've sent, you know, ventilators to New York. They've helped Africa. They've helped Italy. What wonderful people the Chinese Communist Party are. And third message was, China could handle this because we had great socialized health care. Look at the mess in the United States. They don't have socialized health care. Fourth, blame Trump, blame Trump, blame Trump, and blame Trump some more. Okay, have you seen any of that play out at all, GR?
Oh, absolutely. But
right, so that's all coordinated from China.
Right.
Well, it's initiated. You know, they have so many agents in our media that they will just parrot what the Chinese tell them. Now, Dean Michael, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a former CIA officer, and he's a Democrat, and he was on Tucker Carlson about a month ago saying the Democratic Party is following the Chinese line over COVID, which is shut down, shut down, shut down. And Tucker said, why? He said, well, some of them are useful idiots, but I got to believe that some of them are paid Chinese agents. Well, I agree. I could name several very key Democrats that I know are in the Chinese pocket. But anyway, so they, while initially poo-pooing the disease, like Nancy Pelosi and Ocasio-Cortez, then it went into panic mode. And the word came down from the World Health Organization, we need to shut everything down. Every other epidemic in world history was quarantine the sick and just carry on.
Right.
You know, but they told us this time, which they've now walked back, that there was a lot of symptomless transmission. So therefore, the old paradigm wouldn't work. Now, we've got to understand the World Health Organization is a puppet of China. The head of it, Tedros, is an Ethiopian Marxist-Leninist Maoist who loves China. Is completely in their pocket. So this was a Chinese operation to shut down the U.S. economy. And Trump was put in a position by the CDC and the media that if he didn't shut down the economy, he was going to get blamed for every dead grandmother between now and the election. So he shut it down. And that's cost us trillions of dollars. But so the Democrats piled in because and all the blue states are keeping this shutdown going as long as they can because they know Trump's biggest strength is the economy. So the worse things get, the happier the Democrats are because they can beat Trump. The happier the Chinese are because they can beat Trump because they hate him too. And they can beat Trump, wreck the economy. But the really big deal for the Chinese, even bigger, is that Obama gutted the U.S. military. Russia and China are arming up like crazy, and they are allies. Don't ever think they're not. And Trump came into office realizing we're in huge trouble on the verge of a war that we would lose. So he started to build up the U.S. military. He can only do that on the back of a strong economy. Now the economy is in tatters. And already 31 Democrats, including led by the communist Barbara Lee and the socialist Mark Pocan from Wisconsin, have written a letter to the Armed Services Committee, which is controlled by the Democrats, demanding huge U.S. defense budget cuts in the upcoming budget round. This is a political, military, media war to destroy the U.S. economy, destroy President Trump, and to destroy the U.S. defense budget. And if you can achieve all of those three things, Russia and China rule this planet. They have dominance from that point onwards. They are very close to achieving that right now. And that's where we are. And then I can talk about the rioting, because that's part two.
Right.
But so, you know, how do you think that analysis? What do you think of that analysis?
Well,
do you think it's a little bit over the top?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I think it's spot on. The only thing I would add is the only reason they are successful and they have been successful in forcing the shutdown and manipulating the paradigm of America where, you know, people, not just in America, in the entire world, the globe, because I look at the media system as like a global industry, because the paradigm has all been parroted and the narrative has been very well controlled and very well orchestrated throughout the world.
Yeah.
And if America doesn't wake up to realize that another huge enemy is our media and these supposedly quote unquote reporters and journalists, then we're lost. We have to recognize.
That's right. The American media is weaponized against the American people. You know, and Trump has alluded to this in the past, and he's 100% right. The media was taken over by the left beginning in the 50s, It's got progressively worse and worse and worse. And China has courted many of our main media people. They have Hollywood is basically tied into China now. A lot of big newspaper guys have gone over there. They have thrown in with China. They see the writing on the wall, and they want their piece of the action, and they are sucking up to China. Yep. So the American mainstream American media cannot be relied on at all.
Right.
And that includes Fox News to some degree as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
You know, there's good stuff on Fox News, but there's some terrible left-wing stuff on there too now.
They're
no friends of the president.
Right.
Not really.
So, Trevor, let me just share this too. It's not just the media is culpable, but because if you really look at where the new generation, these whatever you want to call them, betas, kappas, or whatever, these kids that are coming out of high school, where do they get the majority of their news? They don't even tune into the mainstream media. They get their news from Yahoo, from Google, and those types of sources. And the high-tech industry, these corporations, Yahoo, Google, even Apple, they are all in bed with the communist plan.
Absolutely, you're right. And that includes Facebook, that includes, Twitter, all Google, all of them basically lean towards a totalitarian state. And all of them have probably collaborated with the Chinese some way or another. China's got the second biggest economy in the world, and the way things are going, they have the biggest very, very soon. And do you think all these big media titans who basically like the Chinese model, because China allows business and big business and the state work very closely together, and suppress the peasantry. Well, that's a very attractive model for these media titans. They would love to be have a monopoly over the world's population in collaboration with a totalitarian state. That's where they're leaning. And so they're tilting their algorithms and shutting down conservatives and everything they can to tilt the election against President Trump, because they see the writing on the wall. If Trump goes down, China rules the world, and they want a piece of that action. So, we can't trust them either.
Right. I mean, to understand what we're facing as far as the controls, I can easily see how the average American is going to be overwhelmed by how can we overcome this? And I'm telling
now.
Well, absolutely, they're overwhelmed. But when they put it in context to their own county and their own state, that is how we can easily overcome this, because just look at America, folks. The majority of America are red counties. Take your county back and take your state back. And so, actually, I will share this with you.
Well, you have to work on the micro level, but we also, like the next election has to be won. Because if it isn't, the Democrats are going to legalize 22 million illegal aliens,
right,
and swamp the red states.
Right.
They will take down Texas. They'll take down Florida. They'll take down North Carolina.
Right.
So we've got to be working it. We've got to work at the local level to gut the power of the federal government. But we also have to make sure that executive power is on our side, because if it isn't, we're at a huge disadvantage. The only thing we've got in our favor right now is the grassroots and the president. There's not a lot between, whereas the other side has China, Russia, Iran, Cuba, Venezuela, and North Korea, the American media, Hollywood, the unions, and the Democratic Party, and a lot of the churches.
Right.
That's their side.
And a growing number of useful idiots. Really quick, though, I think I told you that I was writing an article regarding Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. I'm going to send that to you. So this is another good expose regarding something that's in the Constitution that actually allows us to enforce the oath of office. So Section 3 of the 14th Amendment basically says anybody that takes an oath of office and violates their oath of office is ineligible to be a public servant and should be removed. Now, I'm paraphrasing because they used a little bit different language, but it comes right out to the fact that this is a qualification. I want to send this to you so you can actually see this. So that people want to know how we can hold these politicians accountable to their oath of office. And the weapon is right there in the Constitution. So I think you'll be interested in this. But moving on to.
For sure. We got to use every lever we can.
Oh, absolutely.
To take back our states, take back our counties, preserve the base that we have and expand on it.
Because, right.
You know, we haven't got a heck of a lot of time left. And we basically are in a war now.
Yes.
We're in a war as serious as any America has been in the past. And it's even more serious because the vast bulk of the government and the vast bulk of the people don't know it's happening yet.
Right. Well, so you've covered kind of the political side of this. Now there is the actual, I'll just call it in the trenches war, and going to what I just said as the useful idiots, there are all sorts of people that are, and way too many kids that are coming out of our education system that are completely, I'll just say, brainwashed or indoctrinated into, we need to surrender our liberties. We need to surrender our liberties. And that just seems like the underlying tone of the education system and what Antifa is doing. And it actually, it's very apparent that this Antifa movement isn't just a Black Lives Matter, you know, type of moment or issue of, you know, how bad, you know, racism is in America. These are opportunists that are using anything and everything they can to, you know, try to gain control in what I'll call metropolitan areas. Because once they gain control of this, and I'll just share this with you, because everybody believes that we're a democracy, and if they control the population centers, then they control the democratic process.
Right. Well, that's great, but this isn't just Antifa. This is most of these riots are coordinated by the pro-Chinese communist parties, the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, and Liberation Road. This is a Chinese operation.
Oh, absolutely.
Antifa's in there,
right?
But it isn't the major component, or it's part of the mix,
right?
But I just want to, you talk about 1968, and I had a very interesting conversation, and it was actually in my movie Enemies Within, which unfortunately was very prophetic because it talked about the massive communist infiltration and Islamic infiltration of the Democratic Party, but all of government. And I interviewed a man for that, a guy called Carl Davidson, who was an SDS, League of Revolutionary Struggle, Democratic Socialist of America, Marxist to the bootstraps, you know, lifelong Marxist. And I said to, you know, he says his North Star is communism. And I said to Carl, I said, look, you were in 68, you know, the student radicals were rioting, we had Black Panther riots, we had, you know, there was a lot of chaos in America. Can you ever see that happening again? Now, this was 3 years ago. And he said, yeah, it's just around the corner and it's going to be way, way bigger and better. And I said, why do you say that, Carl? He said, well, back in the 60s, it was just us crazy Maoist kids, you know, just us young kids. The country was conservative. The government was conservative, and they were willing to stand up against them. He said, we've had 40 years to teach the kids about Marxism in the colleges. This next wave is going to be so much bigger. Well, we're in it now.
Right.
And it is just getting started. They're talking about the summer of freedom. And this is, if you think it's petered out, I think it's going to escalate. I think there will be bombings. I think there'll be assassinations. I think there could be, that on the international front, I think North Korea and Iran are both going to cause problems. This is people's war.
Right.
This is directed from China. And it's guerrilla warfare in our country to destroy us in a war of attrition before the Chinese troops need to start marching.
Right.
They're not gonna confront us directly in the Pacific. They're gonna wait till we're on our knees before they just come and waltzing in here.
And what puts us on our knees? Lack of food, lack of money.
Lack of food. Yep. You know, Peter Pryor had a good article out there the other day, former, you know, the expert on EMP. You know, what would be, you know, you imagine in the middle of August an EMP attack where 95% of our electrical grid is just blasted out of existence. You know, one atomic weapon detonated five miles in the atmosphere above this country could wipe out 95% of our electrical grid for a year.
Yep.
You imagine, our own government said that within a year, 90% of the American population would be dead. So, you know, the Chinese just wait for that to happen and they march in, mop up what's left.
Right.
That's their people's war. So that could be on the cards. And, you know, President Trump issued an edict a year ago to start hardening the grid and protect us against this, and nothing has happened. Because these companies just keep stalling, they keep holding hearings. It's all been established what needs to be done, but they just delay. I got to think, because some of it's treason and some of it's just commercial unwillingness to foot the cost of doing it.
Well, so I'll actually say this as well, because I worked for a global contracting company that actually won the award for hardening and fixing our electrical grid. And I think there's two factors here that you didn't mention. One, competency. There's just an absolute lack of competency in understanding the entire infrastructure, because it's not like the infrastructure was designed by a single person. It's been more of a, yeah, you know, patching together. How can we get this to work and how can we get these things to connect and work? And so it's been an amalgamation of, you know, if you want to call it patching and ingenuity. But the other side of this is there's a lack of competency in understanding the entire system. And I'll also throw this in, that when you start understanding what the problems are, what people think the solution should be doesn't necessarily mean that that would be the best solution, because companies work on a bottom line approach. How can we make more money at this? And if you understand how unions, if you understand the transportation system could easily develop and create roads that would not require maintenance or reduce maintenance to such a degree that they would become obsolete. And there's in the capitalist system, they go, well, why do we want to do that when we can make more money by coming back and repairing and so forth? So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But all of that is a factor. You know, commercial greed, commercial reticence, a lack of political will, as you say, the sprawling infrastructure that nobody really understands that well, but there is general agreement that it's extremely vulnerable to EMP attack or even sunspots. You know, every now and then you have a big solar flare, and we're overdue for one.
Right.
That could do the same thing as an atomic weapon.
Oh, absolutely.
So this could happen any time.
Sure.
But nothing has really been significantly done to stop it.
Right. So just to throw this out there, what do you believe would happen if China or some nation, and actually, I don't think it'll be China, by the way, because I remember doing the research in the early 2000s that Iran was testing on the Caspian Sea, as well as, you know, in other places, launching a Scud or off of a boat, a tactical type of nuke to actually do an EMP blast. So I honestly think the real player might be a rogue country where all they do
But there are no rogue countries. You know, Iran and North Korea do what China and Russia tell
and
them.
And that's, I agree with you.
Yes, it will come. If it comes, it'll come from North Korea or Iran or perhaps, you know, even an Islamic group somehow.
Right.
You know, China has just wrecked their economy and nobody's actually saying this is a deliberate action by China. China's just burnt our cities, and nobody's pointing the blame at them. Nobody. And so, you know, and when if an EMP attack happens too, it won't be able to be blamed directly on China either. You know, but it will be directed by Russia and China. They look, North Korea does nothing that the Russians and Chinese don't tell them to do.
Right.
You know, the same with Iran. These are puppet states.
Sure.
And it may suit the U.S. State Department to talk about rogue states because it means you don't have to directly confront Russia and China for what Iran is doing. But look, they are puppets.
Yep.
And so, look, a top former Russian defector told a friend of mine, Jeff Nyquist, a while back. He said, if you ever see a band of Muslim terrorists set off an atomic weapon on U.S. soil, don't believe it. It will be us. We just pretend it's the Muslims.
Yeah.
You know, this all comes back to Russia and China. The Muslims and the Iranians and the North Koreans, they're just soldiers. They just do what they're told.
Right. Well, so, you know, you talk about Obama and Bush, but, you know, I'm sure you're aware of the fact of the technology and some of the things that Clinton did. I mean, if I look at the presidents that have done some of the most horrendous things in helping China become the evil empire that they become, I have to point my finger more at Clinton than anybody else. But
the
other thing,
Clinton was the first communist president.
Yes.
You know, Barack Obama was the second.
Right. I think the Bushes were communists as well. They were definitely a part of the global elitist. And the global elitist...
Well, they're globalists. But I'm talking as part of the communist apparatus. You know, there's globalists and there's communists, and often they overlap.
Yep.
And I'd put the Bushes more in the globalist, especially Bush 1. Especially,
right.
But Clinton and Obama are both connected to the international communist apparatus.
Well, here's the one thing I constantly tell my listeners, that it doesn't really matter the cost. When you have the paradigm, the ends justify the means. They don't care how many people die. They don't care what it takes to be able to seize full control, because that is the objective, is to seize full control. And they're using every tool at their disposal, whether that be Islam, the Communist Party. All of these are just tools, you know, with the intent to seize control. So,
the war on the Constitution. You know, America and the American Constitution have been the enemies of the globalists, the revolutionaries, the communists since 1776. You know, and they've been working every angle to destroy the Constitution ever since. And now it's going to overdrive because they see Trump came along and actually put a spanner in some of their plans. You know, he actually set them back a little bit. And they're doing everything they can to finish him off so they can roll on to what they want to achieve. But, you know, you got to look at the status of the new world, how it would be. Now, you know, a lot of your viewers won't like to hear this, but China's plan is to completely occupy the United States. That's their plan. They are way, way overpopulated and overpolluted. The deal they have cut with Russia is Russia will get the Northern Hemisphere in Europe. Russia may get Canada, but China gets the United States. And they will move their population here, and that means the current population here will basically be replaced.
Right.
And that's putting in brutal terms, because that is the ultimate objective here.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing that, going back to the useful idiots, the one thing that amazes me is how they ignore the empirical data of how every revolution, the success of every revolution, whether it's Pol Pot, whether it's Castro, whether it is Stalin, Mao, Hitler, even Napoleon, every time there's a revolution, when they finally seize control, 9 times out of 10, the majority of those who supported the revolution are eliminated because they have served their purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, and these silly Democrats who think that by reducing America's power in the world and aligning themselves with China, they'll be allowed to sort of rule over an impoverished America. And they'll live in their gated communities high on the hog. And they sort of think that's how it's going to be. No, they will be eliminated too.
Right.
So they're aiding and abetting their own suicide. So most of them, I'm sure, have no comprehension of what they're doing. They look at the money, they look at the power, and they go where the money and the power is, and they think, you know, our job is to reduce America to a vassal state in the New World Order. Well, they don't understand the implications of that. They don't understand the implications for the existing population. You know, do you think the Chinese want to have 50 million American-loving, gun-carrying, constitutional conservatives running around their new territory?
Right. No. And, you know, it. One of the things I also want to bring up is that I understand that they don't care about the cost, and they don't care about the loss, or, you know, again, the cost. But I think they do care about success. They want to be successful. And I think that one of the things that will keep them probably, and kind of subjective, but I don't believe that they really want to hit us with EMP or anything like that, which would cause, I believe, the Americans to change or to galvanize our patriotism and digging in our heels.
Look, if they hit us with an EMP, we would be destroyed in a year. You know, the country wouldn't be cohesive. The infrastructure would still be there. They want the infrastructure. They just don't want the people. So that's why they're not confronting in direct war. They've just attacked us to gut our economy, which we don't blame them for. They've just burned a whole bunch of our cities, which we're not blaming them for. You know, if the American people fully understood that this all comes from China, there probably would be a war right now. Because I can't think of worse acts of warfare than what they've just committed. But and our government may actually understand this, but, you know, they just promote these fallacies that it's, you know, this is not a real attack. These are just accidental, unrelated occurrences, that Xi didn't really mean it when he said people's war. You know, we get to an EMP attack stage, we're not going to come back from that. You know, they're not going to let us come back. We got to build our strength now to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right.
China's got to be fully confronted now. You know, they will respect strength. They don't respect weakness. The longer we delay confronting them, the worse they're going to get.
Right. Well, I do know that there are a lot of preppers and there has been a big market for not only guns and ammo, but for generators and those types of pieces of gear for people to be able to sustain themselves if things really got that bad. Because and so America may be a little better off than almost every other nation, but we will, if we are hit with EMP, it will have it'll obviously have a huge effect on the global economy. Because if America no longer consumes the goods, so I think there has to be, they have to be in a financial position to say, we no longer need America's consuming of our goods. We have enough wealth to be able to take us into where we need to go, denying America's ability to consume, if that makes sense.
Well, that's right. A friend of mine talked to a Russian general. He said, when will Russia and China attack the United States? When they can no longer get money from here.
Right.
Okay. So basically, look, people say, well, China would never attack America because look at all the money they would lose. Well, okay, they lose some money, but they gain America. What would you rather have? They gain America and all the infrastructure.
Yep.
What would you rather have?
Oh, absolutely. America is still to this day probably the most resource-rich nation because of its ability to grow food. And the sad part is America has not been growing the level of food because Obama, Bush, and even Clinton has really reduced and created this interdependency on other foreign corporations, or I should say other nations' agricultural products. I mean, a lot of the beef that we get is no longer American beef. That's globalism.
That's right. You know, the agriculture has been hollowed out.
Right.
The industry, the heavy industry, has been hollowed out.
Right.
So you get in a war with China, you say, well, we need steel to build rockets. We need steel to build jeeps.
Right.
Let's put in an order to Beijing for the steel we need. You know, let's put in an order to Beijing for the rare earth minerals we need for our computers to fight this war. Oh, China controls 90% of it. Oh, that's a bit of a shame. You know, it's just, people got to realize just how precarious this is, and they need to understand how aggressive China is. China doesn't want to defeat America in a trade war. China wants to occupy the United States. You know, China wants to dominate the world. They're massively overpopulated. You know, America is a breadbasket. It's got huge infrastructure. It's perfect to settle, you know, a couple of hundred million Chinese on, or 500 million Chinese on.
Right.
You know, we got to get real about geopolitics instead of this fantasy land that because we're all economically related, that nobody's going to attack anybody else. Well, nobody's been threatening China for a long time, and they've been militarizing like crazy. That's not to take Taiwan back. That is to confront America.
Right.
And they've mounted a people's war now to bring down our economy, trash our military spending, and divide our nation. What would you do if you're a Chinese leader intent on winning the war against America? What would you do, anything different?
No. As a matter of fact, if you look at what Hitler did, and the difference between Hitler and the Chinese Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party is perpetual. In other words, it's not dependent on a figurehead, where Hitler was a mortal person. He had to accomplish so much during his lifetime to be able to become, you know, the king of the world type of thing. And so incrementalism was the key. And that's how Hitler got away with all of his expansion, because he was doing it incrementally. But he did it incrementally and too fast to where, you know, everybody finally woke up within a matter of, 5 years. They said, you know what, we're going to be next if we don't stop this. And China has been doing it so slowly and so gradually, it's like boiling the frog.
Well, look, China's been at this for 70 years. Hitler had 12 years on the international stage.
Right, yes.
You know, five of that at war. But, you know, all the time that he took to build up to that, well, China's had way more, and China's got way more money.
Right.
And China has, Hitler didn't have a whole slew of American politicians in his pocket.
Right.
Hitler's Gestapo hadn't infiltrated the United States infrastructure in every single way.
Right.
Well, you know, China is way, way more advanced down the globalist road than Hitler.
Oh, sure.
And they won't make Hitler's mistakes, you know, launching a premature war on two fronts.
Nope.
So Hitler made mistakes, and the Chinese admire Hitler, and they share his sort of racist ideology. They sort of believe that the Han Chinese are the master race, and the really the Han should be occupying the planet.
Right.
So they're a lot more patient, a lot more intelligent, a lot less impetuous, and they have a collective leadership structure, whereas Hitler was really a bit of a one-man band to a large degree.
Right.
So they have a lot of strengths that Hitler did not have.
Oh, absolutely.
And look at the damage he did.
Right. Hey, so if I can, because we've got, you know, just a few more minutes left, do you want to talk about your upcoming movie, books, or anything else? Because, folks, I know that you have been working on this, The Enemy Within the Church, similar to The Enemy Within.
Yeah.
And so How's that going, and what's on that front?
Well, look, you know, the backbone of America is Christianity and the Judeo-Christian ethic.
Right.
And even though a lot of people aren't real Christians, at least for many years, they respected the ethic and they would try to live by the standards, even if they didn't, you know, succeed.
Right.
But so you know, what we're doing in the new movie, Enemies Within the Church, you know, we trace the history of the Marxist-Communist infiltration of the mainstream Protestant churches, which began even before the Bolshevik Revolution. The first communist front in America was the Methodist Committee for Social Action, run by the secret communist Harry Ward. And so the mainstream churches were heavily taken over. They affiliated with the National Council of Churches, which was affiliated with the World Council of Churches, which was essentially run by the KGB. That drove a lot of people out. They went into the evangelical movement, etc. The Catholic Church, in the meantime, was suffering a parallel invasion, to the point now they have a Marxist Pope in Pope Francis, who is very much on board with everything you'd see coming out of Russia and China.
Right.
So that's the Catholics and the Protestants. But what has been relatively pure up until recently were the evangelical churches and the Baptists, the Southern Baptists particularly. Now, the evangelicals supported Trump. They supported Reagan. They were politically conservative. Same with the Baptists. And a lot of churches are completely out of the fight. The ones that are in the fight are usually conservative. So the left had two goals, and this has gone into overdrive in the last 5 years. A, to neutralize the conservative churches, turn them to the left, and turn American Christianity to the political left. And that has largely been achieved through the Gospel Coalition, Russell Moore, Tim Keller, and these types who have infiltrated, done a horrible job of, you know, from our point of view, infiltrating the seminaries, infiltrating the Bible colleges.
Right.
And I shouldn't just say that the evangelical left, which has been run by Jim Wallis and others since the 70s, they have really come to fruition over the last 5 years, and they've taken over Bible colleges. The Bible colleges now are where the ordinary universities were 10 years ago, about 80% Marxist, and in 5 years they'll be 95% Marxist. So this is filtering through to the pastors, the woke church movement,
right,
the social justice movement,
yep,
the let's end global warming movement, the let's welcome refugees from overseas movement, the let's support illegal immigration amnesty movement, the redistributionist policies that are coming in.
Right.
You know, Andrew Breitbart used to say politics is downstream from culture, but culture is downstream from religion.
Yep.
Left has heavily penetrated the Baptists and the evangelical movement and are busily turning it to the left. And when we lose that, we lose everything. We lose the culture, we lose the politics. So we think it's an urgent thing to get that out there.
Right.
And we're still calling for a little bit of funding. We're about 90% funded now, but people can help out by going to enemieswithinthechurch.com. You can see a trailer. You can see what we're talking about. There's
awesome
articles on there that highlight what I've just discussed.
Awesome. So with basically, I got about a minute left. When do you expect this to be released?
Well, we still want to get it out before the election. If we got the money now, we could do that.
Okay, great.
You know, have it out in late August or early September. So it's all shot. It's mostly edited, but we just need the finishing off money.
Okay, what's up?
And that's what we're calling for.
Great.
And also, I have a new book out. You can get that from my website, a signed autographed copy. TrevorLoudon.com, and that is called White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risk, standing for U.S. President 2020. And it gives the communist background of 10 Democrats who stood for the presidency and the and basically the background of how the radical left took over the Democratic Party. That is Biden, that is Klobuchar, that is Buttigieg, that is all the moderates,
right,
plus obviously Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, but even Tulsi Gabbard. All of them are working for the hard left to some degree or another.
All right. Hey, so folks, I will get those links out on my website. It's trevorlawton.com, and I'll get the enemies within the church out as well, as far as the link goes. But I do need to get going. But what I'd like to do is, if you could stay on, we'll go sidebar, and I'd like to talk to you about the funding. Maybe we can help you getting some funding. So when you're getting ready to release that, just let me know. I'd love to have you back on so we can kind of focus really on the details,
sure,
of this and the importance of this. Because when people walk into the halls of churches to, you know, to for their salvation, they surrender a lot of power to what is coming across that pulpit. And so
it's
very important and critical that people start realizing the messages that they're receiving. But thank you so much for coming on. And if you could just hold on, I'll be back with you. But folks, we will be right back after this. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. I've got to admit, I really enjoy talking with Trevor. There's one person that has a real grasp of what's going on, and he is passionate about actually ending this. There is no sense I get from him where he's actually just, you know, trying to work his way to becoming a rich entertainer or anything like that. He's all about really trying to solve the problem, which is one of the reasons why I find him, you know, a breath of fresh air, because he's actually willing to get engaged in solutions and not necessarily trying to help, you know, make witty comments and, you know, kind of feel good about himself, where he's not necessarily going to lose his empire, lose his gravy train, so to speak. Well, in our next episode, we will be airing our interview with Sheriff Richard Mack. So we will be back in our next episode with him. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.